Your Honor, I'd like to present to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury with Exhibit B, a bag of Sweet Tango apples.
Mmm, boy, these apples are delicious.
And zesty? Mmm, and sweet.
Best I ever tasted.
Your Honor, I object.
Overruled. Court dismissed. We need to recess to the grocery store for some Sweet Tango apples.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at SweetTango.com.
Hello, and welcome to Dining with Death. This episode is on my playlist, Dining with the Disappeared, where we talk about people who have vanished. Before we get into our story, please hit the like button if you like the video and subscribe to the channel if you want to see more from me. You can also join my Patreon. We have a big goal there, and I will talk about that at the end of the video. I'm Stacey Lee. Let's begin.
What you're going to hear right now are two guys on a motorcycle ride out in the middle of nowhere, and they come across a girl walking barefoot, literally out in the sticks in California.
Oh shit. Bees. There are a lot of bees. Sorry, Brennan. I'm going back this way. I'm terrified of bees. I got attacked by killer bees one time. That is a whole nother, oh my God, what the hell is this? Where did she come from? Okay, that is creepy. That is so creepy, Brennan's gonna freak out. Do I go back and look for him? What the hell? Where did she come from? We are literally so far from anything, guys. 45 minutes that way, on a bike, and then, you know, 30 minutes from this prison. Oh, okay. I gotta find Brennan. Dude. What was that?
What?
That girl.
That was creepy as fuck, huh?
Was that not creepy?
Her bag. I was just looking at her bag.
Wait, what?
Her bag way down there where I kept going.
Yeah.
Her bag like hidden in the bushes down there.
Dude, she just like was staring.
She came, like, running at me.
She did?
Yeah, I was like throwing back through the river.
Yeah.
She was like sprinting through there.
What? Yeah. She was just like kind of like staring at me? Dude, that was weird. Let's get the f*** out of here. What was she carrying? I know. I don't know. Okay, let's get out of here.
What you just saw was two dirt bike riders in the California mountains. One turns back because he sees a swarm of bees he doesn't want to ride through. As he returns to the paved road, he is startled and then scared to see a girl walking in the middle of nowhere. As his riding partner joins him, he tells his friend the girl ran at him and was carrying something that was wrapped up. It was a terrifying experience for both of the riders. But was it Carly Gousset? We still don't know. Carly Gousset went missing and has never been found. On October 12th, 2018, Carly told her parents that she was going to the high school football game, but that's not what she did. She went to a house party in her town of Chalfont and then came home after partying with her friends. Now, Carly was only 16 at the time, but she was experimenting with alcohol and drugs. On the night of the party, Carly came home really, really high and disoriented. And her stepmother, Michelle Gousset, got out her phone and made a recording of Carly. So after Carly sobered up, Michelle could show her how strange she was acting in hopes of dissuading her from doing drugs again. Now, Carly was acting strange, very strange, even for being high. And both her father, Zach, and her stepmother, Melissa, say they'd never seen her behave that way. What Zach and Melissa did not know is that something very disturbing happened at the house party. Carly had a boyfriend, and his name is Donald. Melissa called Carly around 8 o'clock on the 12th and asked if she needed a ride home from the football game. Carly told her no, she would have Donald bring her home. At the house party, the kids were all drinking and having fun. And then suddenly, Carly was in a full panic. She was completely inconsolable, crying and screaming and shaking. Donald later said, she got scared of the music. She got scared of me. Okay, I do not have personal experience with drugs, but I have been around a lot of drugs. I'm a professional musician, and I have seen people having a bad trip. That doesn't happen with pot. And the kids tried to tell the parents and the police that they were drinking and smoking pot. You don't freak out like that on pot. So then after a while, they get it out of the kids that the pot was laced with something. And that is just really, really scary. I've seen people get a little paranoid on pot. You know, they think maybe the cops are going to come up to the house or something like that, but they don't go into a full panic attack. They're not hiding in the corners and, you know, throwing their phone and saying people are spying on them. And that's what Carly was doing. And yeah, that's not pot. About an hour after she began to panic, Carly called Melissa and said, hurry up. I changed my mind. Come get me. I'm booking it down Dixon Lane and I'm scared. So Melissa got in the car and went to meet Carly on the road, all the while talking to Carly on the phone. Carly would not get off her cell phone. She kept telling Melissa not to hang up. At first, Melissa couldn't find Carly, but then she saw the light on her cell phone running towards her. Carly jumped in the back seat of Melissa's car, and Melissa saw that she was pale and shaking. Carly was out of her mind. She was jumping around in the back of the car, saying the car was going to kill her. They get back home, and Carly admitted that she had smoked something at the party. This is when Melissa pulls out her phone and starts recording Carly. They wanted to show her how strangely she was acting. She was hiding in the corners of the house, and she was scared of her phone. They weren't really sure why. Carly had already been suspended from school for smoking. This wasn't the first time, but they'd never seen her act like this. This is where we get into different stories. Carly went to bed, and the next morning, October 13th, 2018, it was a Saturday, Melissa noticed the front door to the home was open a bit. Carly wasn't in her bedroom. She wasn't in the kitchen. She was nowhere in the house or around the house. Carly lived with Zach and Melissa. Zach was her father, and her two brothers. Carly's parents had gotten divorced, and her biological mother, Lindsay Fairley, moved to Nevada. Carly didn't want to move, so she stayed in California with her father. Her parents hadn't been divorced long, but Carly seemed to be handling the adjustment well, and Lindsay claimed that they remained best friends. They spoke every day, even though they weren't living together. The transition seemed to be going as well as could be expected until a few weeks before Carly's disappearance. Carly started to have what her friends would call episodes. She'd become very paranoid and believed that someone was tracking her through her phone. This was going on weeks before the disappearance. When her friends asked Carly why she believed this, she never had a really good answer, but her behavior was odd. Now, we know, but not everyone does, this is screaming mental health crisis. This is red flag after red flag after red flag. And someone who's doing drugs on top of having some sort of a mental crisis, it's just about as bad as it gets. Now, back to the morning where Melissa finds Carly gone and the door of the house open, she calls the police and reports Carly missing. The recording Melissa took the night of Carly's panic has never been released to the public. But Carly's mother, Lindsay, says there are things on that recording that do not line up with what Zach and Melissa said happened. Lindsay claims that on the recording, Carly is asking Melissa to call 911 over and over. But Melissa tells Carly she doesn't need to go to the hospital. Now, Lindsay saying this publicly upset Melissa, who fired back at Lindsay. And then Zach and Melissa decide to turn over some of the recording to Fox News in order for them to view it privately. After viewing, Fox News released a statement saying, Carly was in a state of deep angst. She didn't want to sleep in case she was killed, and she was asking Melissa to call 911 if needed. Now, I'm going to get into what happens on social media later on, but this case splits into two camps. There are the people that believe Carly's biological mother, Lindsay, and there are people that believe Melissa, the stepmother, and it gets really, really ugly, which is sad. Melissa claims that she sat with Carly until about 3 a.m., calming her down. She even tried to get her to eat something. At one point in the recording, Carly says, I really messed up today. And she continually talked about wanting to read the Bible and go to church with Donald, her boyfriend. Now, Melissa, the stepmother, texted Donald several times during this episode. At 1:27, Melissa sends a text to Donald that says, "Please pray." This girl did not need prayers. She needed medical attention. She needed psychiatric attention. If you want to pray on top of that, that's great. But do not ever get me to soften my stance on the fact that when someone is in a crisis or someone is hurting or someone is, you know, thinking of taking themselves out, prayers work. Die mad about it. People need mental health attention and they need medical attention. And that's what needs to be the first priority when someone has a crisis. I get bitchy so fast. That's a hot button for me. As you can clearly tell, I'm working on it. I'm working on it. This is where things get, I'm going to let you decide. Melissa first told police that she put Carly to bed, and the next morning she saw everyone in the house around 5:45 a.m., and then it was later around 6:30 that she noticed Carly was no longer in the house. After telling the police this story, Melissa changed her story, saying that she had slept with Carly, staying by her side all night, and that when she woke up around 5:45, Carly was still laying next to her, not asleep, with her eyes wide open. In this second version of the story, Melissa wakes up again between 7 and 7:30 a.m. and sees that Carly is gone. And that's when she finds the front door to the house ajar. Melissa adds that she also saw a footprint in the driveway. So which is it? These are very different stories. And I'm going to tell you, I've never been in a situation like this. I've never woken up to one of my kids missing. I don't know what kind of a panic you would be in. And I'm not 100% sure we can immediately jump on Melissa for changing her story. I can't even wrap my head around what I would be thinking in a situation like that. So I don't know that it's fair to judge her. I will also fully admit that I think it's strange that there was more than one time where Melissa changes her story. Melissa then said she and Zach began driving around looking for Carly. When they didn't find her, Zach called Lindsay in Nevada. Lindsay said there was something strange about the call. It came in at 9:30 that morning. Remember, this was a Saturday. And when Lindsay found out that Carly's cell phone was still at the house, she knew something terrible had happened to her daughter. Now, Donald also arrived at the house that morning. Later on, Donald would claim Carly's cell phone was by her bed. Melissa would say it was on the kitchen island. And the police began to wonder, had someone tampered with Carly's phone, maybe deleted something? As word of the missing girl spreads, three witnesses come forward and state they saw someone that looked like Carly walking through the neighborhood the morning she vanished. The first two witnesses knew Carly, so they were very credible witnesses. One was a cop and one was a school teacher. A third neighbor was sitting in his hot tub having a cup of coffee when he saw Carly walk by his house around 6:30 a.m. So that raises even more suspicion about Melissa's statement. She stated she saw Carly between 7 and 7:30. This neighbor said the girl he saw was Carly and that she was looking up at the sky, swiveling her head around as if she was looking for something to fall on her. According to all three witnesses, the girl was Carly and she was carrying a piece of paper. Melissa said that Carly had been writing on a piece of paper for hours the night before. They've never said what she was writing. But Zach and Melissa believe the paper Carly was holding was from her counselor. They're missing a piece of paper from Carly's counselor. Credit where credit is due, kudos to whoever got Carly into counseling. Whether it was the school or the parents, kudos to you because she needed to be in counseling. A fourth witness comes forward. He's a man driving a truck with a load of wood, and he says he saw Carly standing by the freeway entrance, but she was behind the barbed wire fence. He said, yes, the girl he saw was holding a piece of paper, and she was acting strange. Here's another strange thing. Melissa told the police Carly was wearing a white t-shirt and skinny jeans, even in bed, when she last saw her. But the girl the witnesses saw was wearing gray sweatpants. Later on, Melissa said Carly was just in a shirt and underwear. So why are there so many inconsistencies? Days went by and then weeks and then months. Because of all the strange behavior Carly was displaying and the mystery surrounding what happened, this case went viral. Like I said, people split into two schools of thought and the online discussion became very vitriolic and hateful. One group firmly believes that Melissa Gousset has something to do with Carly's disappearance. This is what Carly's mother, Lindsay, believes, and she has a lot of supporters. This group theorizes that Melissa perhaps accidentally caused Carly's death the night of the panic attack and was trying to cover up what happened. What proof do they have? Well, Melissa has changed several aspects of her story multiple times, and that never looks good. Then there were claims made online that immediately after Carly disappeared, Melissa had her car professionally cleaned and detailed. Melissa has stated, yes, she got her car cleaned because they were driving on dirt roads and it was dirty. This camp also believes that Melissa's behavior on many of her Facebook Live videos is off. I'm not going to include any recordings of Melissa's Facebook Live posts here because the audio isn't great. They're available online on YouTube and on TikTok. You can watch them if you want. I don't know that I would characterize Melissa's behavior as strange on those Facebook Lives, but she does spend a lot of time on Facebook Live. You can judge for yourself. Lindsay, Carly's mother, also made claims online that at the end of this recording made on the night of the panic incident, there are sounds of a scuffle. Lindsay claims she confronted Melissa about those sounds, asking Melissa if there was a fight, and she claims Melissa just walked away and wouldn't discuss it. There's another damning claim Lindsay has made. She says Melissa came to her one night and said, "At least you have an alibi, Lindsay. You're in Nevada." That doesn't sound great, if that really happened. Melissa has stated over and over that she loves her stepdaughter, she had nothing to do with the disappearance, and during a press conference, Melissa tearfully speaks to Carly. Now, the second school of thought online is that Melissa's changing stories are just because she was panicked and flustered and in the midst of a terrible event. This camp believes that Carly called a suicide hotline before she disappeared. This side believes that Carly smoked something very strong on the night of the house party, she had a bad trip, and in the morning, she was still under the influence. They believe Carly simply walked out into the California desert next to her very rural area and fell victim to either the wilderness or a predator. Apparently, in this video, Carly's eyes are so dilated that she actually looks strange. So she's on some very strong drugs. Now we have to talk about Donald's Facebook comment. On a thread in one of these groups, Donald wrote that he and Carly were walking towards his house and that Carly got so scared that it scared him. He says he bear hugged Carly and told her she was safe and that Carly bit him, so he let her go. Donald continues to write in this Facebook comment that Carly told him not to follow her, and that's when she walked away and called Melissa to come get her. Donald claims he stayed in the street watching Carly walk away and that he wanted to follow her, but that he didn't want to scare her by following her. Then Donald makes a strange statement on Facebook claiming there was no party the night before Carly disappeared. Lindsay claims Donald told her, personally, there was a party and that he and Carly had smoked something. So again, a lot of changing and differing stories. Then, of course, we have to take into consideration that Carly was seen near the highway entrance. Maybe she was picked up by a predator. Maybe she slipped and fell into a ravine. Then we have the incredibly bizarre footage taken by the dirt bike riders. I don't even know what to make of that. It has now been 5 years since Carly Gousset vanished from her home. Helicopters, search dogs, off-road vehicles, riders on horseback, many people have spent hours and hours looking for Carly. No one has found a single clue as to where she went or what happened to her. The police say they have no suspects, but that no one has been ruled out. This is an age-progressed photo of what Carly would look like now at age 21. If you have any information that you believe might help this family find Carly Gousset, please call the Mono County Sheriff's Office at 760-932-7549, or you can call 1-800-THE-LOST. And remember, you can remain anonymous. I want to send love from our community to the Gousset family on both sides of the fence. I can't imagine what they're going through. This is every parent's worst nightmare. And I just hope that something breaks open and somehow we find out what happened to Carly. Thank you for joining me today on Dining with Death, Dining with the Disappeared. Hit the like button, subscribe to the channel, and if you really want to support us, you can join Patreon. For a few dollars a month, you help keep the channel alive, and in the end, we have a big goal. We want to raise money to donate to police departments that have cold case DNA in storage that cannot be tested because there's no money. There are thousands of sexual assault kits in storage that have never been tested. They cost between $500 and $700 a kit to test. By testing those kits, we accomplish two things. We possibly solve the case the DNA is associated with, and we get that perpetrator's DNA in the system in case that perpetrator is linked to other crimes. It's a lofty goal. It's a big goal. I've had it for years. I'm a little frustrated it's taking so long to get there, but we're going to do it. It's going to happen. Thank you for spending a little bit of your day with me. I really appreciate it. Stay safe, my friends, and be kind to each other. And I'll see you next time on Dining with Death. Bye.
JCPenney tiene más regalos y grandes ahorros toda la temporada, porque queremos que cumplas la lista de deseos de tus seres más queridos. Regala de jeans a diamantes, de pijamas a perfumes y de batidoras a masajeadores. Tenemos más opciones que nunca a precios increíbles para que regales y ahorres más esta Navidad. Además, descubre nuestras grandes marcas como Levi's y Legos, porque en JCPenney tenemos regalos para todos los gustos y todas las edades. JCPenney, vale la pena.